Welcome to the IRIS podcast. You are listening to a talk as part of the Data Linkage and Mining Vision, Possibilities and Practicalities Conference organised by the Scottish Universities Insight Institute. This talk was recorded on the 11th of March 2011. Gary Sutton, Analytical Services Unit, Scottish Government. National Statistical Data Returns, Linking Individual Data for Looked After Children.
Okay, as Beth just said, I'm Gary Sutton. I'm a statistician in the Scottish Government Children and Families Analysis Team. Been in this post about 6 years, but I've got about 18 and a half years' experience of working in government statistics. So, as Beth says, I'm talking about what I've done over the last 2 to 3 years on the Looked After Children statistics. My agenda for today, just to run through, will be a bit on the background of the Children Looked After Survey, the project that was introduced 2 or 3 years ago in relation to developing the return. I'll give you an idea of what the data structure looks like for the Looked After Children's return. The challenges I have to face with working with authorities and management information providers in making this a reality, the solutions we came up with, let you know where we are now, and then what I'm proposing to do over the next couple of months in relation to linking my new LAC data to education data that's also a part of my division, so it makes it a little bit easier to do that. And then the future possibilities, which probably links to other things you've heard today and the last couple of days. So the background was information on looked after children goes back to 1971 in my statistical publications. Obviously, I don't think we have the data sets anymore that far back, but there's some information available that far back. And up until 2007-08, the information we gathered was from local authorities in an aggregate level return. And that was an example of the old 2007-08 survey form. That's just the first three tables that an authority was asked to fill in on the looked after children. As you can see, it's just cross-tabulations of the cohort of kids by various characteristics, agenda, age group. In the first table, the second table was ethnicity, the third table was disability, and it went on and on and on, and it was, in the end, around 34 tables that needed completing that authorities used to love filling in. I'm sure Caroline will quote me on that. But as you can see, cross-tabulations, aggregate data, I'm probably talking to the converted, only provides you with limited input process information. You can't really cross-analyse tables. What you basically ask for is what you get. It was a burden on local authorities. And was, like I say, unable to provide, perform any sophisticated analysis on the data. So, back into summer 2007, we commenced a project in order to develop the aggregate children looked after return by removing it and replacing it with an individual level collection. This would enable more sophisticated analysis to be performed on the data. So what do we start to do? Basically, my first job was to produce a data specification on and a set of guidance notes that I would want in relation to every child who was looked after. This was largely based on information that should have already been collected by local authorities in order to complete the aggregate return. So they must have a gender code, they must have a date of birth to calculate the age, they must have a placement type of where the child was being looked after, etc. We also included, as part of this, the Scottish candidate number, which is the education number in Scotland, and you'll see why we added that later. So there's a sort of high-level summary of the variables that we were to collect for looked after children. The child ID was a child social work number. That's my understanding of that is that it's a unique number within each local authority social work system. But if a child does move local authorities, it won't necessarily follow them. They'll get a new number when they go to another authority. So it's unique as long as the child stays within an authority area. The Scottish candidate number is the education number. That's a number that's allocated to all children in Scotland when they enter the Scottish education system. I'm not entirely sure about independent sectors, but definitely local authority and grant-aided schools get given a Scottish candidate number, and that number will follow them if the child does move around Scotland. Child characteristics, variables, things like the gender, the date of birth, and the ethnicity and the disability variable. We also collect key dates, so when did the child start being looked after, when did they stop being looked after, and within that, the placement information. So the dates they started a particular type of placement, so if they were at home or in foster care, in a residential school, we have the start and end dates of those placement types. the type of placement, as I've just said as well, and the legal reason why the child was being legally looked after. So the data structure is pretty simple. This looks a bit complex, but it's pretty simple. You've got the child. So this is a child who was looked after during the reporting year. It does include names on here, but they don't come through to the Scottish Government. They're just to enable local authorities to validate the data. Some felt it was better to use the name rather than the child ID. So that is something that doesn't come through the Scottish Government, but it's there on the extract data from the local system. Date of birth, gender. So they're the current child characteristics. They'll appear once if they were looked after at any point during a reporting year. Obviously, a child could have one or more episodes during a reporting year of being looked after. So there's certain variables repeats in order to be able to link information from one table to another. But this tells you the information about the episode. You've got the start date, the end date. Did the child have a care plan during that episode? And then if they have ended, the end date will be completed, and they'll have a where did they go to at the point of leaving care, and if they were 16 or over, did they have a pathway plan and a pathway coordinator? And then within an episode, a child could have one or more placements. So again, these are a layered sort of relational database. So within each episode, you'll have a series of one or more placements, depending on how many placements the child has had over the period of being looked after. And in parallel, same with the legal reasons, the child may have one or more legal reason for being looked after. So in 2008-09, a longitudinal data source was born. And that's where we're at the moment. I've just collected the 2009 data. I actually have two years of data now. What were the challenges? A big challenge was the management information system being used in local authorities. There were three commercial suppliers in Scotland. There was Anite, now Northgate, OLM Care First, and Corelogic. And about eight or nine local authorities had their own in-house system. Even those with commercial systems were on different versions. Some would be on version 17, some were on version 19. Even people on the same version might have locally customised them differently, so they had different ethnicity codes or disability codes. The use of the management information system was inconsistent as well. Some would record health information in a different module to somebody else, so there's all these local issues going on. The information held on the system was poor, patchy, incomplete. We had lots of missing information. And some authorities may have only had the management information system, say, for the last 3 or 4 years. And for the way this was structured, if a child had been looked after in the first year, 2008-09, if they had been looked after continuously for 10 years, we were asking for all that history. So it did mean authorities had to go through old paper case records in order to find out where these child actually were 10 years ago. Also, other challenges, probably more to the local authorities, was some had to actually change the local procedures and practices, getting social workers or the admin teams, Caroline will back me up here, hopefully, to change the way they use their MIS system, to actually start using it if they weren't actually using it to its full effect. We have to allow sufficient time to implement the data. Obviously, we're talking developing IT systems, getting local authorities up to the latest versions of software to make sure they're all running on the same software that allowed them to extract the data to give to us. Local resources, where local authorities actually resourced to take on all these changes to their management information systems. Funding is always a thing that gets raised, and confidentiality issues came to the fore around the fact we were now asking for individual level information on looked after children. So solutions, what do we do? So we set up a series of working groups. I always had a working group with local authorities, more to talk about the data specification side of it, and this is what we would want to collect from you this year or next year, and to talk those things through. But these working groups were more set up to talk to directly to the management information providers, the IT people, the Scottish Government, local authorities, to work through what needs to be done, what were the issues. Health checks were conducted by the IT suppliers to see where an authority was and it being able to comply with the new collection? Were they recording all the information needed? Were they, what did they have to do to change the system in order for them to be able to provide me with the information, etc.? So they were quite useful, I think. We did secure funding. We had £1 million from the minister to allocate to local authorities, to IT providers, in order to develop the necessary software to allow authorities to buy any necessary IT equipment, and if necessary, to take on, say, short-term additional resources in order to populate the IT system with the information that was missing. And also we designed a tool, probably similar to the Australian colleague here, which is a tool that allows an authority to upload their data from their IT system. So how it works is they have the data on their own system, they extract it in the standard way. Our tool will read in that file and perform a series of quality assurance checks on it to make sure it's accurate. So every child's got a gender, a date of birth, not 65, those sorts of checks. It will also check for gaps in placements, because there should never be a time when a child doesn't have a placement. And then once all that sort of stage of checking's been done, it will produce a series of quality assurance tables, basically the tables that it would normally have filled out in the old aggregate form, so an authority can see that the numbers they're submitting, the number of records they're submitting, is reasonably accurate, or looks accurate, it should be accurate anyway, so... So where are we now? We've had individual level data now from all 32 authorities over the last 2 years, 2008, 9 and 9-10. The 9-10 year, we've now migrated to collecting data in what I call an academic year, an August to July year instead of an April to March year. The reason being, I want to link it to the education data, so hopefully it'll come clear when I carry on talking in a minute. And as we speak, as of the last couple of days, again, Caroline was probably sat there cursing me at the moment, I've been going back to authorities because I've been trying to join the 2008, 9 and 9-10 data together, which has given me more headaches than I would have wanted, but that's the thing. What basically has been happening is records that were in 2008, 9 that I should have got again in 2009-10 because the child was still being looked after have disappeared, so I don't know where the child's gone. Similarly, I've got records in 2009-10. When I look at the dates, I should have got last in 2008-9, so there's a mismatch going on there. And also I saw yesterday just children who had been given an end date in 2008-9 have come back through this year with no end date. So I'm getting things happening that local authorities are changing the data on the system after they've extracted it and given it to me, so it's giving me a bit of a headache of how I join my two data years together. So I'm working with authorities as we speak to try and find out why that's happening. So why do we include the Scottish candidate number? Back in January 2007, the Scottish Government published, my policy colleagues on Looked After Children published a policy document called We Can and Must Do Better. It was aimed at trying to improve the educational outcomes of Looked After Children. It had a series of actions in it, one of them being Action 7, which was that we would come up with a framework in relation to measuring the educational outcomes of Looked After Children. So a series of working groups were set up as a result of this document coming out. One of the working groups was aimed at looking at this, designing this framework, of which I was part of. And in September 2009, again, this working group published a report called The Education Outcomes of Scotland's Look After Children, and it provided a framework of indicators that we would want to report on in relation to Looked After Children. So what's contained in the framework? Basically, it's the sort of similar stuff that's published already for schools, all school children. So it's their attendance rates, exclusion rates, academic attainment, and school leaver destination information. However, because of the nature of my Looked After Children return, we'll be able to publish that information by the placement type. So do children who are in foster care have a better attendance than those who are at home or those in residential school? The number of placements, so if a child had had 3 placement moves during the school year, does that have an effect? Seem to have an effect on their attendance rates or their exclusion rates? And so we'd be able to compare this cohort of kids with children who are not looked after. And obviously over time we'll be able to do year-on-year comparisons to see is the gap in results getting narrower or trends going up or down just generally. So probably too much, but it's on the slides anyway, and you can always have a look at the thing. But this was the whole list of indicators that we're going to try and see if we can produce results on. The sections on attendance, exclusions, attainment results, and school leaver destinations, but I won't go through all that in any detail. So how will the analysis be done? Basically, the relevant records for my children looked after return for the 2009-10 academic year, because that's the first year I've got for the whole academic year, will be linked to data that my colleagues on the school side of my division get. So it's the attendance and exclusions data from the schools, the attainment data we get from the Scottish Qualifications Authority, and the leaver destination data we get from Skills Development Scotland. The results will be based on the 2009-10 academic year, as I've just said, and they'll be published, hopefully, in June 2011. At the moment, again, another problem with my data is I've still got missing Scottish candidate numbers. So I've just recently sent out a list to authorities to say, why are these children not got a Scottish candidate number? Because by their age, they look like they should have, or potentially should have. And obviously, any results I publish will be subject to reliability of matching and suppressions because of small numbers. Future possibilities. Probably linked to what we've been talking about today and probably over the last couple of days. There's a key thrust at the moment in relation to how I can use my looked after children's data to link to health data. I've listened to the health colleagues here. I'm going to be struggling to use their indexing because I don't have names and addresses. I only have a child ID that's social work related and a date of birth. I don't have postcodes, so we're going to be struggling because the thrust was we talked about collecting names and it was like, oh no, you're not getting the names from us. So we had those challenges, but also we're looking to how we could use the data to link to justice data, so offending behaviour for looked-after children compared to the non-looked-after population. And I'm just currently with Gillian and Katrina. Sorry, mental block. We're just on the verge of developing my child protection return to make it an individual collection from 2012-13, so how we can potentially use my looked after children's data to link to the child protection data to see is that the same children being involved in child protection become looked after, vice versa, and those sorts of patterns. And obviously just even looking at the longitudinal data for the LAC on its own without linking it to other data sources, just being able to see patterns over a child's life, you know, how many spells are being looked after does a child have from birth? What does the time between spells look like? Is it children who go back home end up coming back into care? Those sorts of patterns will be able to be done once I've got sufficient number of years of longitudinalness in my data.
This recording is copyright of Iris 2011. It may be reused under the terms of the Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Sharealike 2.5 UK Scotland licence. Go to www.iris.org.uk for more information.